Blog Talk Radio.
Savior, the one that is our healer, the one that the Father sent to make a way so that you and I could make heaven our home throughout eternity and not be lost. All right. We're going to be working here in Corinthians, the 15th chapter. But first, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we've opened your word. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to speak for us, Father, so that the words that are spoken are yours and not mine. And Father, that he will help us to build our faith strong to where we can do the work, Father, that needs to be done in this day and time and according to your will and your way. Not the way we want it, Father, but according to your will and your way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 15. Verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Paul is stating here, they have received this word, and that they are standing in it. And that's more than we can say today for most. We're not standing in the Word of God. I'm not saying that a lot of them has not heard the Word, but they're not standing in it and living by it. Now, verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory, I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And you see, that is what happens with mankind. They can hear the memory, or hear the word, but they don't keep it. It seems to slip their memory for some reason. And we know mostly that reason is because they have not completed that plan of salvation that God has gave to us to complete. And they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So, most of what they are doing is where they have believed in vain, because the memory is gone of what God really said. And they're easy to be deceived. Psychology and being and hearing things that are preached by deception that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. Here in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You see, Paul had to receive this because Paul was not a good man. And he don't hide the fact. He lets us know in his writings. He persecuted the church. He arrested and took back men and women both that were believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, took them back to be in prison and killed even. But then he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he really met him, everything changed in his life. And then he would stand as strong for him as he did against him. And eventually, it cost him his life. Paul went through a whole lot just to preach the gospel. In and out of prison, stoned, left for dead, thought he was dead, shipwrecked, bitten by a poison viper? Many things. Had groups that would follow him trying to undo the good that he had preached. But you see, none could pull him down nor make all believe wrongly. And here in 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So we know from the four gospels what Paul was talking about here. Took him a long time. And then he had to meet Christ before he really would believe and accept. Now, 4. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. You see, there was quite a few seeing the Lord Jesus before his ascension back into heaven, because he walked here on this earth for a while after he arose and before his ascension, teaching the apostles what they needed in order to do the work they would be called on to do, which was the beginning of the churches and the church age. And the gospel of the New Testament that was in his blood. And by his blood. Now, 7. Well, let's finish up with 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Paul letting them know that some of all of those that saw him when he was resurrected are still living. Some have fallen asleep, but there were some still living that could testify to the fact. He goes on here, 7. He says, after that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And we know how that meeting went. Paul met him on the road to Damascus, and the light was so bright that Paul was blinded until the Lord sent another one to him to bring back his sight and to fill him with the Holy Spirit, because he was calling him to be the apostle to the Gentile people. Now, But here in 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You see, Paul is not hiding anything. He's letting us know that now what he is doing of God, it's not of him, it's of God. Because that's not the way he was living his life. His life sure wasn't being lived for God before his meeting on the road there. 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's exactly what all of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God can say. That it is by God's grace that we are what we are if we stand as his child and not walking in darkness. Now, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And you see, that's something else we have to watch out for. It's so that God's grace and his love that has been given to us and the salvation that we got from the Lord Jesus Christ is not in vain. In other words, of no use. But he goes on and he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, he was busy, yes. Busier than most, a lot of work. But he's also telling us that it wasn't just I, but the grace of God which was with him, which is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, he was not by himself, alone, and he had help. 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Paul knew that most of the time, it really wasn't him doing the speaking. It was they. It was that Holy Spirit that had filled him, that would speak through him. Yes, it was coming from his mouth, his voice, but it was not his knowledge and his words, but it was the words that was being given to him to say by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And is still at work today if we seek him and bring him into our lives. We seek him. We yearn for him. We want him. We desire him, and the Lord will see that he is sent to us. Only the Lord can get into us. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And we know the dead was groups back then that didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees was one of them. They didn't believe in the resurrection. We have them today that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe he was born here on this earth, and that he was crucified and died, and that he arose, and that he ascended into heaven. You see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. But there's coming a time that they're going to learn and know better, but it will be too late for them. Now, he goes on here in 13 and says, but if there be no resurrection, then is Christ not risen? He's letting them know. Do you believe there's no resurrection? Then you don't believe that Christ has risen and gone to heaven, and that's your problem and why you're walking in darkness and not coming to him and repenting of your sins and growing to become that child of Almighty God, covered by his blood. Now, here in 14, and if Christ be not risen, he's speaking to those now there that don't believe he did, and he's letting them know, Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, of no good. Because you see, the gospel, for the most part, is about the Lord Jesus Christ, his life here on earth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his sending the Holy Spirit back to be with us on the day of Pentecost, his calling men into the ministry for whatsoever work God had for him to do. He letting them know that all of that would be in vain, of no use, because you don't believe it ever happened. But those that believe in him know better, because most have had the pleasure of really knowing him, knowing the Holy Spirit, and knowing when he is at work within them. But they haven't done it alone and by themselves. 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. You see, Paul's bringing it out clear. He's really not leaving any room her death. He's letting them know, if there is no resurrection, he says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of Christ, or of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. In other words, if the dead raised not, then we've been lying to you. Well, we know there is a lot of lying going on because there's a lot of things being preached contrary to the Word of God. But when you are in the Word of God, what it says is true. And that truth is not being spoken in vain. Now, 16. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, or it's of no use. Ye are yet in your sins. So you're lost. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If he be not raised, then those that died believing in him perish. You see, he's bringing it right out. You can't make it any plainer, really. 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Why is he saying that? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If it's only in this life, he said, we're the most miserable because we got no reward coming, got no place in heaven to be, and everything we went through in order to preach this, it's not made for the best of life. But you see, when we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we know that. It doesn't matter what we come against. We can come against it in joy because we're not by ourselves. We're not facing it alone. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is right there with us. And we have the Father also, his backing, his work, his power. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's been dead, now he's alive, and he is the first fruits of those that are asleep. 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Adam brought death upon man, and Christ brought resurrection and eternal life. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. God's word, not mine. his. 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Letting us know that they will be those that will be ready when he comes again. Now, 24. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You see, he comes back. And sets up his millennial kingdom. There'll be no more death, no more sorrows, and no more tears. Think about that. We'll be filled with the joy of knowing that we are there with him, doing what is needed to be done, and praising him. Think about it. Now, For he has put all things under his feet. The Father has put all things under him. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. We know then too that we will be dealing with the Father also. 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Because he is all in all. He is the great I am. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. Else what shall they do which are baptized through the dead? If the dead raise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Letting us know, if Christ had been dead, then there'd be no, and was still dead, there'd be no reason for you and I to be baptized in his name. And that's the way we are to be baptized, in his name. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, tells us plainly. You see, that change happened. Most today are baptizing wrongly. They're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was John's baptism under the Mosaic law. But once Christ died and was resurrected and went back to heaven, he paid the price for you and I. And then when the church age started, there in Acts, we are also told how and what we need to do for salvation, and that is to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and then to receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And it's then that we are born again. And most don't get all of it all at one time, like a lot of them are teaching today. You're automatically filled with the Holy Ghost when you're baptized. No. And when you read the book of Acts, you see that several times where they have believed, become believers. They were baptized in water. But it was a ways down the road before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because they were still having to wait for someone to come and lay their hands on them to be filled. Because you see, God does not give you anything that you don't know anything about, nor that you will not use. And He knows. And He knows when the time is right to give it to you. Now, Verse 28. When all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead raise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily, because we need to give ourselves to Him daily. Make that commitment every day, and you need to make it when you wake up to start that day. Accept that day in Jesus' name and tell the Father, Father, I am yours. Do with me today what you will. All right, now, 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead raise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's no resurrection, Jesus has not died and risen, then it don't matter what we do. That's what Paul's saying. Just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived. Evil speaking, evil talking, evil thoughts can corrupt good manners. Get rid of them by repenting, going to the Lord Jesus and repenting, and then bring Him, invite Him into your life. Give your life to Him. Get into the Word of God and start your journey on the road of righteousness and on your way toward heaven as your home. This next verse, in 34, tells us, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Oh, my preacher tells us we all live with sin. We can't live without sinning. What do these words say? Sin not. And we got places where it's a whole lot plainer than that. And you're getting reasons why. 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And there is a day coming in our life, this flesh that we live in now should be the temple of Almighty God. Because he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, is living in that born-again child of God. And this fleshly temple, one day, will die and go back to dirt. But that spirit that is us, we'll step out of this and into that heavenly body to go on to where it's going to spend eternity, whether that be heaven or hell. And that will depend on how you have lived your life here on this earth. Now, 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh, a man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first mad animal was made a living soul. The last mad animal was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. We know that God created this body out of dirt. The second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also as are heavenly. The one you follow is the one you are going to be like. 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, letting us know that we are going, we are now in a celestial body, but we are going to have that celestial body. Just as we have walked here on this earth, one day we're going to step out of here and go on into eternity. But where are you going to spend it? Now this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because you see, that grave is not going to hold you. The only thing it's going to hold is this flesh. But you will come out of that grave to spend eternity wherever you will spend it, according to the way you have lived your life. Now, 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is the victory you got when he forgave your sins and when he came to live within you and you in him. That change was made. 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be closing with this next verse. We'll be coming to the end of chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a verse to end the chapter with. That right there. I'm going to read it one more time. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That work you do for God is not done in vain. I hope and I pray that you have gained some knowledge to this evening. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share with each other this word and with others that we reach out to. We pray for more knowledge, Father. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us in reaching others, carrying on the work, Father, that needs to be carried on to bring others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and into your kingdom. Father, we know we're not the ones that give the increase. You are. But we are to preach this word, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and to do the things that we are asked to do, whether it be laying on of hands for healing, whether it be part knowledge, or whatever else, Father, that you have for us to do. We know that the Holy Spirit, Father, it's not us that does the work, but as the Holy Spirit will flow through us, perform the work, we receive rewards, Father, beyond our measure. Now, Father, we all have family members that are lost. Holy Spirit, work with them to understand that they need something besides themselves. They need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and help to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus and to bring them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem for peace. But even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. Father, my wife, you know her problem. Father, I'm lifting her up in Jesus' name, asking the Holy Spirit to touch her this night. Restore what those two doctors took from her, Father. The memory that has been taken. Bring her back home. She loves you. She loves the Lord. We all love her. Now, Father, you know my needs. And I know, because your word tells us, you will supply our needs. So, Father, I know that you will do as you said you would do. Keep us now, Father, throughout the remainder of this evening and through the night, and keep us in health, in safety, and let us rest through the night, Father. Wake come morning refreshed And Father, bring us back together into your word at 10 a.m. in the morning, Father. 10 a.m. Eastern time. Father, be with us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great evening. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. And have a great, great night. Good night, all.